This episode of The Morning Stream is brought to you by Blue Chew. We've got a special deal for our listeners. Try Blue Chew free when you use our promo code TMS at checkout. Just pay $5 shipping. That's BlueChew.com, promo code TMS to receive your first month free. Coming up on TMS, coffee porn music.
How will I ever learn how Babby is formed?
A glory hole silo.
Oh, I got this one. I like two cup testes.
You heard him say it. It wasn't me. Pretty ballsy grabbing the tiger like that.
Always castrate your children's toys.
Why do the holes match up with the eyes?
Corn nut pioneers.
Frog pants doodle a day.
What's 30 go up to these days? You know he's got talent.
Dude, where's my ambulance?
Buckets of apocalyptic food.
Milking this phoenix for all it's worth.
How is Jamie's sausage made and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
By dawn, the god of destruction will be unleashed.
I guess this means we can forget about using the elevator.
Maybe not. Tom left a message. He wrote it on the floor in his own blood.
In his blood? Way to go, kid.
They seem to be humanoid with the characteristics of bees.
This is Scott Fletcher, and I approve this podcast. This is The Morning Stream.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome back to TMS. It's The Morning Stream for Tuesday, April 13th, 2021. Scott Johnson here, and Brian Ibbett over there.
Way over there, on the other side of them mountains.
Yeah.
That are covered with snow right now.
In the 1800s, you'd be like, it'd take you a month to get to me back in the old times. You know, you'd have to get a couple of horses, a couple of stout horses.
That's right.
Plenty of salted beef, a couple of men with shotguns, and then you'd still lose.
Couple packs of David's sunflower seeds.
Yeah, like the old pioneers used, the old David sunflower seed.
Package of corn nuts.
Yeah, and then maybe you might lose 20 to 30% of your men on your way. They would die on the way, and then you'd come see me. Those were the days. Those were the good old times.
Oh, good old days, yes.
But not today. We have modern internet, and here's Brian and I talking. Don't have to cross those mountains. We do it with ones and zeros. That's exactly right. It's good to see you all. Thank you all for being here. It's Tuesday. We got stuff. Jury is a no-show today. Not going to be here. So if you were like pining for some really hardcore political business, I have some bad news for you and yours. That's not happening.
Yeah, sorry.
Not happening. Our political segment is not happening this week. I don't know what's going on. I hope everything's fine. He was very short about why he couldn't be here, and it was very last minute, but I think everything's probably fine. It's all good.
Mm-hmm.
They're I'm busy. Sure. They're busy over there punking everybody with their fake cancellation of their show.
Are they really?
Yeah, they're doing like a weird fake cancel of Night Attack and then relaunching it, and it's just the most jury schwitty thing I've ever heard.
It really is.
Yeah.
Let's see if we can get this thing to the number one spot on Podcast Alley.
I mean,
you'll have to give them a hard time about missing an episode of TMS.
Yeah, that's right, because last night he was going on for an hour on AMTP how he was the only one that didn't miss any of the judges.
Didn't miss a single, the only judge that didn't miss an episode. Let me clarify.
Yeah, I only missed one. Jenny missed a bunch, but he, you know, everybody had reasons. But he likes that. He's going to die on that hill. It's fine. Let him.
He is.
It's totally fine. Anyway, hey, we got a thing I got to talk about. I have some concerns here.
Okay.
Right. Went to, so Kim is always on the lookout for something cute for Van because that's her job. It's like, he'll love this. I'll get this.
That is grandparents' job for sure.
It's what you do. It's what we've learned, and Kim is real good at it. And anyway, as a result, she has always, you know, she's always looking for something he might like at the age he's at. And it turns out he's super into animals of any kind right now, including, you know, dinosaurs and extinct creatures, but also, you know, the living ones. Tigers, lions, bears, oh my, all of it.
sure.
And I'm going to put this in the Discord, and I'm going to show the chat, and I'll try to describe this at home. But she bought a bunch of safari, like African safari animals. You know, giraffes and some zebras and, you know, stuff you'd find in that part of the world. And he loves them, just adores this whole box. If any other little kids want to touch him, he freaks out. It's all mad. Don't touch my stuff, basically.
Okay.
He's just real, you know, super
protective of him.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And okay, I'm going to put these in. I'll give you two examples because they're, the angle's a little hard to see in the lighting. But these are photos I took. And you'll get an idea, Brian, when you see these about what I'm going to talk about here. So these these okay. tigers and these lions and most of these animals, with a couple of exceptions, there's a bison and a giraffe, I think, that don't have this. But all of these animals, these plastic toys made for children, yeah. have perfectly anatomic wieners. And chat room, here you go. Here's yeah. a shot.
It is like it is not even like subtle. It is a pair of testicles and a penis.
Yeah. Yeah, like a real legit thing. Now, some of you may say, oh, Scott, you know, all time is a good time to start teaching kids to understand and not, you know, not be embarrassed or afraid, or, you know, you teach kids what their little private areas are and all that. You know, I get it. And there's an argument to be made there. Mm-hmm. But really, the freaking happy time farm animals all have to have freaking, yeah. I'll be honest, semi or sort of erect units there. They got to do that.
I mean, it is basically, it's like the bathroom wall drawing of a pair of balls and a penis, yeah. you know, but a three-dimensionalized.
Yeah. On all these animals. And he doesn't know, he's not even looking, but I couldn't help but notice. I was huh. like holding these things going, oh, all right.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
They're going to go ahead and have, and they're all boys. That's the other thing. So we have a lion that is not the main, you know, it's like a lady lion and it's not, doesn't have a mane or anything, but it's got a unit. So somewhere in China, they're like, hee hee hee, just put the penis on everything, basically, is what they said. Hee hee hee. Because that's them laughing. See, they think it's funny when they go, hee hee hee. Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, I don't know what to think about it or maybe care. Oh gosh, what is this you just put in the chat? Oh geez.
That is a wow. A photo that a tourist took at the Thailand Zoo, which pretty freaking brave. This woman apparently reached into the cage and grabbed the cupped.
Why would she do that? Why? Why would you do that ever to anything? And that tiger just seems to not give a crap. Look at him.
It really doesn't.
She's yeah. like, whatever. Everyone touches my junk. Just go ahead, lady.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I don't know. Just found it confusing. A little bit yeah. a little bit of weirdness. Also kind of funny. But, yeah, if you ever want to know what to get a two-year-old, just get him a box of plastic animals, man. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah, Tristan, that was his thing. Like, anytime he went to the museum or the zoo, they had these plastic tubes filled with small little toys, way smaller than the ones you have in the photograph, right? And it was like either a tube full of dinosaurs or a safari tube, and it was all those kind of animals. He loved those. He, you know, apple doesn't fall too far from the tree, right? I'm sitting here with a
you know
Marvel girl everything. Action figure, horrible look on her face.
No kidding.
But that was his. He'd line them all up on the table. He'd have little adventures with them all. It was really, really cool.
Well, now that I think about it, I guess these animals he's got are all resin, so they're not printed per se. They're probably manufactured.
They're stamped, line, yeah, or like, you know, mold kind of thing.
There's a little bit of a seam down there.
Yeah, yes, there is.
Yeah, bit of a seam on the unit there.
Yeah, but, there's a seam. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, I guess, I'm not even saying buyer beware. I'm just saying, sure, let's just put a penis on everything. That's fine. It's,
you know, you could even say, oh, is it like just the printing place? Is it the place where they injected the stuff into the mold to make it, to be able to create it? And I don't think so. It just feels like like somebody having a laugh. Like,
they're saying.
Yeah, exactly.
They are. I promise you. Maybe whether they're having a laugh or not, that's an intentional mold of a male animal genitalia.
It is. Not only that,
I'm not even sure it's that accurate. That looks like something that'd be on a dude, not an animal. It doesn't look quite.
Well, you saw that photo I just posted in the Discord. That's pretty.
Yeah, you're not wrong. Now that you say it, you're not wrong.
Was there even the slightest thought of saying, hey, let me take an X-Acto knife to this and
oh, no.
all that business?
I hadn't thought about it. I mean, mainly because, you know, we're never gonna make him. There's never gonna be a moment where we demonize anything, because that's the worst thing you can do to a kid.
Genitalia doesn't exist.
Yeah,
heaven forbid.
Yeah, yeah, you can't can't do that to kids. It's bad for them. But
right.
But my guess is he'll be long bored with these by the time it matters anyway. So
right, exactly.
He'll be on to something stupid. So doesn't matter. Anyway, all right. Well, we've got that out of my system. I feel better.
Good.
Don't have to think about animal testicles anymore. I can move on to racist taco follow-up. Okay?
Okay.
Brisbane, Australia's own Chris wrote in.
Ah, yes. Hi, Chris.
Yeah. Hello, Chris. Your name's not Bruce. he used the email address, themorningstream@gmail.com, and he said this. Hey, guys. Nothing major, but we had a restaurant near our place called Turbans and Cowboys, which did Mexican/Indian food cuisine. It was like a fusion restaurant. Mm-hmm. The food was complete garbage. It went out of business during COVID, but it did exist. Cheers, Chris. So
Turbans and Cowboys.
Yeah. So Indian is an Eastern Indian. And then somehow mixing that with, I guess, Tex-Mex, you know, sounds like. But it was Mexican-Indian fusion cuisine. That sounds odd, but maybe okay if you did it right. I'm trying to think.
Maybe.
Like, I mean, my brain always goes to curries, right? So could you do like a curry burrito? Could you do like a smother burrito with some kind of awesome curry on it? Could you, I don't know.
I mean, it would have to be, the combos would have to be very carefully put together. By the way, would you like to know some of the items on the Turbans and Cowboys menu?
Please.
All right. So they have your best-selling items are garlic naan, cheese and spinach naan, steamed basmati rice. So people really just said, "Yeah, screw the whole cowboy thing. Let me get the Indian food."
Yeah.
Also, large chicken nachos and something called chicken butter.
Chicken butter.
Chicken butter.
Well, I've heard of butter chicken. That must be what it is.
Yeah, maybe that's it. Yeah. Let's see here. Vegetarian entrees, samosas, and non-traditional curries. I'm not seeing things that combine the two, because there's like... Yeah, that is it. So it's basically...
Like, where's the fusion, man? We want the fusion here. There's no fusion.
Then there's some korma, some madras, some vindaloo, some masala.
Vindaloo!
Vindaloo, it's such a fun thing to say.
It's so fun to say.
Tandoori breads, accompaniments, tikka salad, chili, lime pickle, papadoms, desserts, Mexican burrito. Then we get to, it is really like, we're basically a food court with two restaurants.
It's like the smallest food court ever. It's like the Del Taco hamburger. It's just like on there.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
I will say this. The Mexican burritos, right? So they have the fish supreme, the lamb supreme, pulled pork supreme, beef supreme, etc.
Yeah.
The description, lime and coriander rice. Well, I guess that's kind of what you get at Chipotle, right? Because it's the cilantro lice, cilantro and coriander, I think, come from the same plant.
Yeah.
Pico de gallo, mild salsa, and ranch sauce. Habanero. I mean, the fact that they've got lamb burritos, there is a little bit of a... kind of crossover-y deal.
Yeah. Not enough, I guess. They're out of business. They're done.
No, even their tacos, two pieces classic Mexican tacos, lettuce, ranch, cheese, and pico de gallo. I don't think ranch is very classic Mexican.
No, that's them. That's just you fooling fellow Australians into thinking the thing that isn't true.
Yeah. Habanero, chipotle tacos, nachos... I'm just seeing if they have one item, just one item that combines the two.
I mean, if you're really going to call your restaurant Turbans and Cowboys, if you're going to go that far and make like a freaking racist ass name for your, or, you know, a somewhat insensitive name for your thing, go crazy with it. Like, go nuts. Go crazy with the food. This sounds too conservative to me. Like, they didn't try very hard.
Okay, so I came to something called the Angry Indian Burger, which is probably... But they name the people who send them cease and desist. It's a vegetarian patty, lettuce, cheese, tomato, onion, mayo, pickles, tomato relish, guacamole, jalapeno, and hot chili sauce. Huh. There's really nothing here that, I'll be honest, nothing here except for the guacamole that says Mexican, or, and certainly nothing on there that says Indian.
Yeah, I don't think any of that's... I mean, nothing you've mentioned so far is super...
There, I get to the bottom of the menu. There is nothing in this list that fuses the two.
Yeah.
It is really just a, would you like Indian or would you like Mexican?
Mm.
Yeah.
Oh, this brings up a question I've had for a while. I'm glad you just said... I'm glad you mentioned that it's kind of a limited menu, because I have a question about the opposite of that, which is most Chinese restaurants / Japanese restaurants I've been to, their menus are enormous.
Yeah.
Like 80 pages of things you're never going to order. And I'm curious why that, what is that? Like, is that a thing? If I went to Japan, you've been there for some time. Was that true over there? Or is that just us over here? Like, what are we doing?
I mean, the place that we go to, Mika Sushi, does have a big menu, but the problem is, or I don't know if it's a problem, the problem is that they've got on one side, so like it, you know, opens up, and on one side you've got a list of maybe 8 specialty rolls, and then on the right side they've got photos of all those rolls.
Yeah.
And then you turn the page and there's like 7 more specialty rolls. Like, the reason the Mika Sushi menu is so big is because they've just have so many available rolls, so many different individual pieces of sushi, etc.
Sure.
But I think the Chinese food menus are almost like a Taco Bell situation, right? Because you've got
the same 3 sauces, same 3 meats.
Kind of, yeah, except you've got kind of you've got 12 different ways of preparing stuff, bamboo shoots or teriyaki this or sesame or mushu, etc. But then for each one, you've got each of the different proteins that they can add to it. So it's not just beef with broccoli. It's chicken with broccoli. It's prawns with broccoli. It's, you know, this and that, and tofu with broccoli. Then we go to sesame. Well, sesame chicken, sesame beef, sesame pork, sesame fish, sesame shrimp, etc.
Yeah.
So it's really, it's almost like a, it's like a spreadsheet where you've got the different preparations across the top and the different proteins along the side. And it's basically the, you know, we've got to have an item now on our menu for every square in that spreadsheet.
Well, there's a place up the road that we get sushi from sometimes. It's okay. It's not amazing. It's okay.
Yeah.
But they're a combination restaurant owned by a Japanese dude and a Chinese dude, open it together. And it's a combination of Japanese cuisine, sushi stuff, and a crap ton of Chinese food. And so this menu needs three-ring binder. It's so big. It's ridiculous. Be, like, there's pages and pages of rolls, and then you got pages and pages of Mugu Gai Pan, General Tso's chicken, and every other thing that you've ever seen on a Chinese menu. Just boop, 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 boop. And then they got like a hamburger for kids in case they don't want, you know.
Of course.
Whatever. Yeah. And it's just this monster of a menu. And I just don't know how they manage it. I just think.
It's like a Cheesecake Factory menu.
Yeah. Yeah. It is like that. That's the American equivalent. Yeah. There you go. You
it
nailed
really
it.
It really is. Yeah.
So most, you know, when I go to a restaurant and it's like a little card and there's like 4 things on it, it's kind of nice. It's like, my choices are limited. I don't feel like I have choice paralysis here. But when I go to that sushi place, I just get tunnel vision and go, get the Vegas roll. That's what I do every time. Just get it. Just focus on the Vegas roll.
Right. Give me the chirashi bowl and a roll of some sort, and we're calling it good.
Yeah. And also a little bowl of that, what do they call it? Cucumber salad. I can't do that as much, though, because there's a lot of sugar in that now. I found out. A lot of sugar in there.
Probably, yeah, because I mean it's fermented in vinegar and sugar.
Yeah,
we make that stuff a lot with the HelloFresh and Blue Apron stuff that comes in. Yeah. The Tasty Crate stuff that we have to do usually has.
And it's sweet. It's much sweet. It's not a sour sort of experience. And I realized that I think this has sugar. And then I looked it up and I'm like, this has a lot of sugar. I'm not eating this.
Yeah.
Anyway, well, there you have it. Thank you, Brisbane, Australia's own Chris, and thank you for filling us in on turbans and cowboys.
Yeah, I wouldn't call it a fusion cuisine restaurant, but I'd say that the only thing that appears to be fused is the menu.
Yeah.
Is that they just have the two items on the same menu.
And your colon when you leave.
And your colon.
Yeah. Right. All right, here's some fun.
It is making me hungry for all that stuff.
Here's something we haven't been able to do for a couple of days. It's the news.
And dance by the light of the moon.
Today's news brought to you by...
How else are you going to know what the latest and best indie games are in gaming? Listen to The Boop Show weekly on the Frog Pants Network.
Yeah, tonight, in fact, 3:30 Mountain Time. So cool. If you want to check that out, you can. Okay. Cool. Let's see here. Where are we? Oh, Yahoo Answers. Speaking of, you know, Turbans and Cowboys may be gone, but so is something else. Or it's about to. You remember the bastion of internet confusion? The Yahoo Answers. Well, it's shutting down. Yep, going away.
How will I ever learn how is Babby formed?
I forgot about that until you just said it. That's great. Yeah, Yahoo Answers was a good idea that just never worked. And why would it? You're asking the internet to give serious answers, and that often doesn't happen unless you have some kind of curation. And they really didn't have anybody moderating it. And it just was a big pile of misinformation. As opposed to, say, Wikipedia, which is also open source and open community, but it's got this like really stringent set of rules and a whole bunch of mods that have been there forever. And nobody, you know, nobody wants to let poopy in there. Yahoo Answers
didn't. No, it's very well policed, very well self-maintained.
Yeah, even when something goes awry, it gets fixed pretty quick over there. But
yeah.
Yahoo Answers is gone. At times, people asking questions of strangers lunged for the hallucinatory limits of human curiosity. What would a heaven of what would heaven for elephants be like, for example? Or should scientists give octopi bones? These are some of the hard-hitting ones that we got over there. Anyway, here's another one. It helped people identify their sense of self. Why do people with baguettes think they are better than me? Was the question. Is being popular in high school a good skill I can use for a job interview? I love that one. The answer's no, by the way. No.
Yeah.
Scottanswers.com.
You should, if you're someone with a baguette, you should definitely use that in a job interview.
Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah, walk in there with that thing sticking out of a bag. Yeah, they'll know, exactly. They'll know
the,
who's
the
in
trope
charge.
Of I have groceries. See, there's a baguette sticking out of the top of my grocery bag.
He has groceries. Give this man the job.
That's right. And something leafy hanging out the side.
That's right. That's the stereotype we're looking for.
There was one, I think John Oliver was showing like a montage of great questions on Yahoo Answers. And one of them was, how do I keep my penis from farting?
Cut it off and never look at it again.
Yeah, exactly.
What happened
there? See a doctor, all caps, is the answer to that one.
Wow. All right, here's one. Smoke coming from my belly button, ?
It's not even a question.
No, it really isn't. It's a bad question if it is one. Yeah. And then this one is a really good one. Why is everything at my grandma's house moist?
Oh.
Get out of your grandma's house.
It's a really disturbing and good question.
How about what does a hug feel like? That's interesting. That's kind of deep.
Oh,
yeah.
Geez.
There's really no way to answer that. It feels like a hug. What else does it feel like? It feels like...
Yeah. Oh, man.
I don't know. Other things feel like hugs, but what do hugs feel like? Now we're down a rabbit hole. Yahoo, which is now owned by Verizon Media, will be shutting down the question and answer service and deleting archives on May 4th. So you have very little time to go use it if you want to. Erasing a corner of the internet that will be widely remembered for its, to be charitable, less than enriching contributions to human knowledge since its original arrival in the year 2005.
Wabbit Magic brings up another good one. Why are the holes in cat's fur always in the right places for like their eyes and things? Like it lines up, like it's like, you know, cats are just born with a sheet of fur over them, and but the holes always match up with their eyes.
That's great. I mean, the nice thing is all this is on archive.org. The Wayback Machine has like all those archives.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's not like these will be lost to time, but what a wonder. Someone should make a book and have me illustrate it.
That's what I was just going to say. I'm sure somebody's got a coffee table book in the works of Yahoo Answers.
You know what I should do between now and the 4th? I should do a sketch every day, a doodle every day of some of my favorite
of Yahoo
questions and answers.
Yeah.
That could be fun. Fun little series. And then
I'm curious
give,
to see your sketch of how is Babby form. That's going to be an interesting one.
I don't even know what to do there. I wouldn't even know where to start. Well, anyway. So goodbye, Yahoo Answers. There's a new question. What happened to Yahoo Answers? And now we know the answer.
Now we know. Aww.
It's too bad. Yahoo. What a weird thing, man. Back in the early days of the internet, Yahoo looked like it was going to be one of the great pillars of the future. And it didn't matter if it had a goofy name. There were plenty of other examples like that. If I could go back in time and know what I know now, I think I would shock people. I would say to people, Yahoo, you think is the end-all, be-all. This is the search engine. This is the way that people will find everything on the internet. That is not going to hold very long. And they wouldn't believe me because it was so big when it was big.
It was everything, right?
Right. Yeah. And then I would have said, oh, and that little tiny bookseller weirdness over there called Amazon, that's going to be the biggest monster ever. And they wouldn't believe
They're going to sell everything.
Yeah. I would love to be a time traveler just to dick with people like
just
that.
Just to show people the future of the internet. Oh, and see the entire internet right here on this little device.
Right. And the big money, and I'll tell people, the big money is going to be in, I don't know, what's a weird thing no one saw coming?
Fake money. The big money is going to be in fake money.
We're going to make up money, and it's going to be where all the big money is.
That's right, exactly. So buy your fake money early.
Yeah. So my brother-in-law is really big into like investing and, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
And the other night I go, so you've been following all this NFT stuff, and his eyes actually rolled, physically rolled his eyes. And he goes, Oh yeah. He didn't have much else to offer. I don't know how he feels about it. His eyes just rolled. So
that's
there's
funny.
That. All right, moving on. Check this out. If you live in Maine, that's where Hawkeye lived. Hawkeye, but MASH Hawkeye. What was that called? Something Cove?
Cove, yes.
Cranapple Cove?
Cranberry Cove? It would be Cranapple. That'd be hilarious if it's like named after an ocean. Crabapple Cove, yes.
Crabapple Cove, Maine. That's it.
That's it. Yep.
Where him and his dad, who was also a doctor, lived. Anyway, watched a lot of MASH growing up.
Listen, Beach.
Hey, Beach.
Hey, Beach.
Yeah, chicken was a baby, Beach. I tried listening to his podcast recently, and then I got sidetracked, and I never did. But Alan Alda's got a pretty good interview show that he does now. So,
oh, really?
Yeah,
cool.
And he's like, you know, that dude's old.
Is he interviewing celebs or what's
that? Yeah, other actors. I think he may. It's not always just actors, though. It's like, I don't know. Like sometimes it's a big scientist or experts in some field or whatever. It's all very hoity and toity, but I think he may have had that the poet laureate girl on there.
Oh yeah, the one who read at the inauguration.
Yeah, she's like 5% of his total lifespan or something. She's like this.
She's a tenth of Alda. She's got a tenth Alda.
One tenth Alda.
Hey, play me some coffee porn music.
Oh, I can do that. Oh, that's boring. Hold on. Let me find something better. That's right.
That's awesome. I actually like that.
Brian's porn is
good coffee porn music.
That's right. Pour your coffee, everybody. By the way, that's...
That is caffeine-sounding coffee porn music.
For the record, or for those wondering, that's the official soundtrack to the Crypt of the Necro Dancer, which is an awesome little video game that came out a few years ago.
Okay. Yeah, keep that handy for next time I have to pour. I think that's great stuff.
Yeah, I got it right here now. So we'll never go without ever again.
Cool. And then we'll be amazed when we look back and say, "Wow, how much coffee did Brian drink during an average episode of TMS?" That is dangerous.
I don't know. We're in dark territory now.
People thought I said coffee porn music.
Oh, coffee porn music. Well, that I got.
That actually works. Yeah.
Yeah, actually I don't have
that. Label that one as coffee porn music.
Let's see if I have anything with the word porn in it. I doubt it.
Okay.
I'm going to look. P-O-R-N. It's searching. Yeah, we're looking. Oh, I got a drive spinning up because I have an external drive.
I have a couple albums over in the media room of 70s porn soundtracks.
Oh, nice.
It's great stuff.
Oh, my gosh. I need to get a hold. Put that in a special Scott folder.
I will. We'll do that.
All right.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I have a number of files named porn. Let's see what they are.
Harry's a porn king of Southern California.
All right. I think that was from
Jamie, I know you're on later, but you know, before you come on, I have a number of files on my computer labeled porn. Let's see what they are.
Yes. I've screwed up already. Here's Wendy.
The assumption is porn is, woo.
All right, and then we got...
It's an electronic pornography archive. Housed
hardcore pornography.
Oh, I like that one. And then Wendy again.
Cat and chicken porn.
That's a famous one.
That's the one.
And then one more.
I want more porn. And pop-up windows.
I don't remember what that's from.
Wow. Third Eagle is really losing it as far as his music. It's... I haven't checked in on him. I mean,
well, now that he doesn't have rosaries for Trump every day, what does he do?
Yeah, that's a really good question. Let's hold just on, look him let's up. Let's see. Is he still daily streaming? I'm worried that one of these days it's just going to be like,
he's dead.
Sadly, I regret to announce that, here we go, Third Eagle Books.
Yeah. Pray for the stone.
Pray for stone cut from the mountain 46 minutes ago.
Yeah. Before we hated her, we loved her. Is that a song? Let's see if he sings this.
You'll have no electricity.
The very first thing out of that video is you'll have no electricity.
Oh, I love it.
Oh, this guy is so...
It's great. Dana's Rats in the Sewer Dream, complete decode.
Oh, wow. From top to bottom, really? Okay.
Rats in the sewers.
The false prophet causes all to take the mark of the beast. All right. Oh, look at him ringing his bell. Okay, yeah, this guy. You know what? It used to be, I like the weird stuff. Like, I saw a video where...
I know. I really want him to review the most recent Lil Nas X
video. Yes, the one where he pole dances in Satan's lap or whatever he does.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
I kind of like that song.
We almost need to, like, say, Third Eagle, could you please review, talk about the latest Lil Nas X video?
Why isn't he doing that? I think he's just
too
far. I
want to watch his head explode when he watches
I mean, think of all the symbolism that he would claim to see. I mean, some of it's just obvious. He pole dances down to hell.
Exactly. Some of it's just no symbolism at all. It is just flat out. Yeah.
Oh, I really want him to do that now, but he won't. The number one video is still your airport one.
Yeah. Well, you know, it got a lot of press. That was back when he was wearing polo shirts.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Now he's... what's he all about now? Sweaters.
Strategically buttoned so that you can't see my flowing chest hair.
It's a sea of wavy gray moving left to right rhythmically.
It's funny. It is not just, I mean, it is like several videos of Denver airport stuff.
Yeah. And the biggest one was 208K.
There's 450,000 views. Phallic symbols at Denver International.
Oh,
airport.
Yeah. You're right.
Classic.
Oh man,
that's his greatest hits.
11 years ago, that was started the show around the time he did this.
We did, yes.
And now he's still with us.
He's still
all
with
right.
Us.
Well, good luck, Third Eagle. May
pray for the stone being cut from the mountain. Whatever the hell that means.
See, once again, this is a case where. This obscure guy nobody knows except us because we've focused on it so much is one of your best impressions by a mile. But you can't, it's never gonna, you know, you can't use it in regular life because no one knows what
exactly
the crap you're talking
about. Hey, you want to hear my impersonation of Third Eagle? Who? Yeah. Okay.
So that's now, you got that, you got James. Yeah. Who's the other? You have another
Ken Kratz. Nobody knows Ken Kratz.
Not like they think they do. Like, Why is that? Your three best impressions are of people no one knows.
You know what? Because my other ones are impressions of impressions, right? Like my Obama is an impression of Fred Armisen's Obama, I think.
Yeah.
The long pauses and the...
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe that's it.
I don't know what's going on there. Well, we'll check in on him occasionally.
Are you there? Clear the road and clear the air here, there, and everywhere. I said that many, 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 many times.
Yeah.
many times. We need to record the whole song of you'll be without electricity.
I know. He was, and I think it was just the start of a stream, and his song was playing in the background, and that line just came up first. So there's probably this song somewhere on its own.
Yeah.
We'll see if we can find it. All right, moving on. Oh, yeah, Maine.
Oh, yeah, Maine, right.
I forgot to tell you the story that I started 9 years ago about Maine. All right. there's a cannabis ambulance that makes house calls in Maine if you live there.
A cannabulance.
Cannabulance. A weed mobile, basically. A
blenchulance. No, there's something. There's something there. I don't know what it is, but we'll work on it.
Blenchulance is good. I like blenchulance.
We'll keep you posted.
I'm not going to deny blenchulance a chance at the table. That's pretty good.
Blenchulance. It really, that sounds like a sex movie you pay extra for in Vegas.
Blenchulance. Oh, yeah, totally. Or no, like a live show thing on at the Crazy Horse Saloon or something.
That you right, exactly. Oh, Tally's Rail might have it. The gondolence.
Oh, there you go. The gondolence. It's not bad.
Yeah, it's not bad.
That's not bad. All right, well, here's the deal. It's a mobile certification vehicle that visits different cannabis dispensaries and caregivers and who helps determine whether somebody may be eligible for a medical marijuana treatment plan. It's operated by Medical Marijuana Practitioners of Maine. That's their company name. Hmm. And you'll see it pop up from time to time from some notable locations across the state. The photo above is from their biweekly visit to Farley's Cannabis Farm in Woolrich. Anyway, they've partnered with somebody to do actual house calls for residents living in the greater Portland area. That's Portland, Maine.
Yeah.
Multi-step process in getting your medical marijuana card, which includes booking an initial appointment. Excuse me. Meeting with a licensed clinician to discuss your ailments and then being approved.
Yeah. I think the multi-step process is make an appointment, get your card. I think that's the multi-step.
They have to over-explain it to us. Oh, look at that thing. That looks like someone's in trouble if that pulls up to your house. Look at that.
Oh, really? Is it the actual? It's not like a green ambulance or anything.
No, it is like an ambulance, I guess, but and it's got a big green stripe on it. But if I saw that in someone's yard, I'd go, we had a heart attack. You know, like I'd be.
Yeah, they do have the green stripe and the pot plants on it.
Yeah. Oh, look at
that. See, that's where you need to. That's where you need the Ghostbusters vehicle, and you know, instead of a siren, it goes. Ah, as it goes down the street.
Hey, good looking. We'll pick you up later. I guess that's not pot. That's Mr. Microphone.
That's right. It's Mr. Microphone.
Yeah, it's Mr. Microphone. It's not the same. All right. Well, anyway, if you live in Maine, maybe.
I've got a Mr. Microphone and I love it.
And I love it. Oh, I hate Mr. Microphone. Hate it. Now I got to play it. I got to play some of it.
All right. Play it.
I got a Mr. Microphone and I love it.
You were really close to that. Do it again. Do it one more time.
I've got a Mr. Microphone and I love it.
It's pretty good. It's pretty good.
It's not my Jill, but it's you know.
Yeah. Oh, here's
It's more the echo that sails it because it's the. They're all gonna laugh at you. They're all gonna laugh at you.
How about this one?
Speak into the microphone, squid brain.
No, that's not it.
Hey, this Christmas party is getting a little too quiet. I think it's time we liven it up with my favorite Christmas gift, Mr. Microphone.
Hey, what's that?
Well, you set the dial on your FM radio and testing. Hey,
oh my gosh, dude. What were we doing back then? Ugh.
I want one.
I know.
It's my voice, but it's coming from over there now.
The crowd just erupts, and it's all through. You got to tune it to like a shitty station on your FM radio. Oh my gosh.
That's
right. So bad. We lived in such dark times back then.
All right. Hey, good looking. I'll be back to pick you up later.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll be waiting right here.
I'll be here, especially now that I see you have Mr. Microphone. That's my favorite Christmas gift.
Shall I just take off my clothes now and wait for you?
Before this, I thought you were gross and I wanted nothing to do with you. But now, I've been persuaded by your expert use of the Mr. Microphone.
By your purchase of a Ronco product.
Oh, my gosh. All right. Final story. Maybe we may have two more here.
Okay.
Radio host.
We'll make a lot out of this.
Yeah,
one,
this is a good one. Radio host Steve Quayle. No relation to Dan Quayle, as far as I know. Okay. Former presidential, whatever. That guy, you never hear anything from Dan Quayle.
No, he really kind of disappeared from
I mean, I guess
public life.
I guess I don't blame him because.
Yeah.
Let's look him up.
He was, you know, that whole potato thing just really like it became his moment. And it's like, all right, see ya.
Oh, here's okay. He's I guess he's more active than I thought. He
really?
He was okay. Let's see. Well, that was 2 years ago. Okay, 2 months ago he was on MSNBC saying he will attend the inauguration. So I guess he pops up occasionally and just says stuff. I don't know. I don't know what his deal is. He still can't spell potato, so it's fine.
Yeah,
it's fine. Man, our the lines we would draw for what made a politician stupid back then.
The bar just keeps getting lowered and lowered.
It's really, really weird. Really weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is he? Let's see. How many? Oh, he was a one-term vice president. Well, yeah. So was Pence.
Pence.
Yeah, Michael Pence. You don't hear a lot from him lately either. Although I guess he has a podcast now. He's got a podcast.
Does he really?
Yeah, dude. Yeah. I won't last. This podcasting takes hard work and rigor, and I don't think any of these people have it.
Who will be a guest on each other's podcast first? Pence on Third Eagle or Third Eagle on Pence?
Oh, Third Eagle... Well, see, Ted Cruz has one too, so I think there's a better likelihood of that crossover first.
Ted Cruz imagine, has a podcast.
God, can you imagine doing that on purpose? Going to Brian, imagine. Here's your phone. You're like, all right,
If Shkreli gets a podcast, I'm done, Scott.
I'm out of the business.
Moving, figuring out another thing I can do.
You'll grab your podcast app, and who literally goes, all right, I'm gonna hit this search button. I'm gonna type Ted Cruz.
Yeah.
You know what? I am going to do this. Let's see what happens.
Get ready for more recommendations of things you don't want.
All right. It's called Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Verdict.
Join Ted Cruz and co-host Michael Knowles as they break down the most important news stories of the day and reveal what they mean to you. Oh, my Lord. His last episode was on March 25th. Weird. They've already pod-faded.
Wow, it's a bummer because I was really hoping we'd get that expose on Trump calling his wife ugly.
Yep.
And
yep. Oh, and here's
the aftermath of Trump calling his wife ugly.
This is all. This let's see, the battle over ballots. Holy crap! What a
that
week.
Important news of the day.
Let's hear what their intro is.
The media have declared Joe Biden the winner of the 2020 presidential election. But under our constitutional system, it turns out that the media don't actually get to pick who the president
is. Oh, you're hilarious.
So it's a comedy podcast.
Yeah,
all right, good.
Podcast. Yeah, where they pretend to be breaking down the news so that we can understand it. Uh-huh. Yeah, plus they pod faded. They're done.
Yeah.
All right. Moving on. Oh, no, I didn't get to the point here. Radio show.
See, I knew we'd be on this one a long time.
Gosh, like, dang it.
Not even related to any of these people we're talking about.
Yeah. Well, all right. Here's what we got. Radio show host Steve Quayle claims zombies could attack Earth. And he said this on televangelist Jim Baker's show. You know Jim Baker?
Jim Baker? Gotcha. Yes. Oh, yeah. Good old.
He's a dude.
Jessica Hahn, the takedown of the. 700 Club? What was it? What was their deal?
700. Oh, was that them or is it a different thing? Well, whatever
that
it was.
That might have been different, yeah.
Wait, Jessica Hahn. Yeah, she was the one she had.
Jessica Hahn.
They had the affair. And then his wife with all the
and
makeup
then Tammy
got
Faye.
Mad. Right. And then he was basically shamed.
Right. And then he came back with a bunch of buckets of apocalyptic food. Right. Basically, you could buy buckets of apocalyptic food.
Yeah. Yeah, they were big buckets of. It's totally right. You can buy. That's exactly right. That's exactly it. I'm going to play.
It's Home Depot orange buckets filled with.
There you have it.
Quaker Oats.
So I'm going to play this 29 second clip from the show, and we'll see what we.
Okay.
What we
all right. Here.
Hopefully, you don't get a takedown notice. Oh wait. You got to turn the volume.
This is on two things: a power outage, and zombies. Yep. Mm. Zombies.
Okay.
This is the alert that came from the city of Lake Worth. You can see that it reads more than
Sunday.
Sunday. He posted Lake Worth does not.
Okay, why have this article where they don't actually show me the clip?
So that's actually an article about the article, right? Or about the
I think so. I'm not even sure of that. Well, anyway, here's what he says. Let's see. He hosted a conspiracy theorist and radio show host Steve Quayle. He warned of the impending zombie apocalypse on Tuesday, suggested that material collected from nasal swabs and south end swabs, he called them, from your bum, used in COVID-19 testing are covert genetic capture techniques designed to create a bioweapon that could transform people into the undead on the latest edition of the Jim Baker Show. Baker did not appear to question the premise that real-world zombies existed when speaking to Quayle, referring to the reanimation of the deceased as being, quote, like any other disease, unquote.
Wow.
Zombies, he says, this is what the guy says, zombies that are on the earth are the disease, like any other disease that affects people, and they become like zombies, Baker said in a clip resurfaced on a Right Wing Watch project that, skip ahead. Forgive me, but that's only part of the story, Quayle responded. Zombies also have a evil spiritual entity known as demon possession, okay? Oh, well then, all right, it all clears up, it cleared it up. Because there is no rationale with a zombie. The best way to explain zombie bloodlust is this, the appetite of demons expressed through humans. F off.
Wow.
Freaking wow. F off.
Miravina, the photo I put into the chat, I wish it actually came up as a photo, but that's four different servings of the apocalypse chow.
Ooh, look at that.
That is a macro on the top. That's your macaroni and cheese. On the right side is like a bean soup or something. The bottom is chocolate pudding. And on the left is your chicken noodle soup.
So just creamy, bad for you garbage.
It looks like the Indian buffet restaurant you don't want to go to.
Yeah, that's it. That's what they want you to eat.
That is not a shade of orange you find in nature anywhere.
Yeah. Plus, Jim Baker would be so backed up from this. There's no way this is going well.
It turns into a zombie from eating this stuff.
Yeah. He's going to have a nice impaction in there.
Yes. Exactly.
Anyway, yeah, I need some grape nuts in there. All right. We're going to take a break. When we come back, some time with our old pal, TMS Jamie Mashups guy. He's coming on. Yes. Yeah, that's right. Jamie's coming on. And we're going to talk about his method and how he finds this stuff and why he's an insane person and does this. It's going to be great. So look forward to that right after this break. This break being a song provided by Brian Ibbett. Brian, what are we doing today?
Yeah, so we got a punk band. This is great. They have a brand new album called Metal Butterflies. The band is called All My Friends Hate Me. And these guys are great. They're probably a little bit more like Green Day than what I would consider to be just straight up punk. But I mean, we've got different definitions of punk.
Sure.
But these guys are from Los Angeles, formed in 2018 by Bobby Bannister from Nashville, and as well as British transplant Bo McCarthy and bassist Xander Bermer from Seattle. This is a great song. This is actually the title, sort of the title track. It's called LA Changed Me and All My Friends Hate Me. I'm going to give you a heads up, that the end of the song, the very end, there's a spoken word bit and there is an F.
A swear. Okay.
So right. please be careful that it does not corrupt your mind. If you hear that F bomb at the end of the song.
Yep. Be wary.
But it's kind of funny.
Yeah. All right.
Anyway, so there
Sounds
you go.
Good.
Anyway, the band is All My Friends Hate Me. Here is LA Changed Me and All My Friends Hate Me.
I moved out to the West Coast, thinking it was the best coast. I don't know how the rest goes, 'cause I haven't been there yet. Started dating a model. She couldn't put down the bottle. My friend said she was awful. I didn't listen to them. I guess I'm ignorant to the rest of it. But nothing matters when you're in the best of it. So fuck your life, yeah.
good time. Yeah, I know I stole that line, but that's just still true.
Take a look to your right, you'll see Tom Cruise taking a shit. On your left is a rapper with the children's Spider-Man costume handing out his mixtape and grabbing the asses of unsuspecting tourists. Fuck, I'm drunk.
Hey, you guys, let's take a minute and talk about our friends at Blue Chew. Today's episode sponsored by Blue Chew. Look, it's been a hell of a year. Personally, I feel like I've aged 12 years over the last 12 months. And if you're like me, you're feeling your age more than you used to. I guess that's true. Especially in the bedroom. It's time to snap out of it. Spring is here, and it's time to get sprung with Blue Chew. That's right, Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in chewable form at a fraction of the price. Blue Chew's tablets help men achieve better erections to combat all forms of erectile dysfunction. Blue Chew is an online prescription service, so no visits to the doctor's office, no awkward conversations, no waiting in line at the pharmacy, and it ships right to your door in discreet packaging. Everyone's favorite packaging. The process is simple. Sign up at bluechew.com. That's EW.com. So like blue, like the color blue, chew like you're chewing it.com. Consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive a prescription within days. The best part, it's all done online. Their licensed medical professionals and providers will work with you to find the right ingredient and strength for your prescription. Don't like swallowing pills? No problem here. Because you don't have to. You chew them. Blue Chew's Sildenafil and Tadalafil. I know I'm saying those wrong. Tablets are completely chewable. And they're made right here in the USA. And they prepare and ship them direct. So it's cheaper than a pharmacy. So if you could benefit from some extra confidence when it comes time to perform, wink, wink, visit BlueChew.com for details and important safety information. We got a deal for you guys. Try Blue Chew for free when you use our code TMS at checkout. Just pay $5 shipping. That's bluechew.com, promo code TMS, to receive your very first month free. And we thank Blue Chew for helping us out today.
What are you saying, Lean? I should be the one saying that. I wanted to release you from those wings that torment you so.
I can only die once. I'm happy that you've killed me.
This is the morning stream, and I feel fine.
All right, we've returned. We've come back, everybody.
We have.
We've come back.
Better than ever.
Yep.
Again, that's All My Friends Hate Me by the band. That's L.A. Changed Me by the band All My Friends Hate Me.
Very nice. All right. As promised, we're going to bring Jamie in here. He lives in Canada, and I believe he's on the East Coast time zone.
Oh.
So it's very nice of him to take time out of his day. And
the good part of Canada.
Yeah, the part of Canada where, I don't know.
I'm kidding.
Where's the one that they don't like the French Quebec-y people up there much, right? Isn't that the deal, Jamie?
Really?
The Quebecans are the ones that get the heat because they think they're Frenchy and mean or something. What's the deal?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, because people with baguettes are better.
Yeah, because they think they're better. They're not actually better, but they think they're better. Joining us on the line is Jamie. He is known to you folks at home as TMS Mashups because he puts together these amazing weekly, sometimes more often, mashups that we play on the show. Here and other shows, in fact. If you've ever heard Core, you probably heard a bonus there once in a while. And they're always fantastic, but part of the reason they're great is because they're so, I don't know, like scraping the bottom of the barrel on stuff we forgot we said. We don't know when we said it. I don't know how you find this stuff. I don't know how you know, like in your head that, oh, I'll take this line. I won't forget to edit this out. So a lot of people are just kind of dying to know your process, man. Before we get to all that, how the heck are you? How you doing?
I'm okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm on the West Coast, by the way. I'm over in Vancouver.
I thought you were East Coast for some reason. Why did I think that? I don't know why I thought that.
No idea.
Yeah.
So Vancouver and Toronto are right next to each other, so it's all good.
Yeah, I think you even said, you said something about this in an email exchange, and I, for some reason, conflated it with East Coast. But look, nothing wrong with the French people in Canada. You guys are fine.
Not at all, yes.
We're not here to judge. I just know that you're, apparently by your fellow countrymen, you are all annoying and they don't like you. All right. That doesn't matter. Moving
on. I also love the night before you're going to go on something big, like my first sort of appearance on the show, because my dreams were all, the show is starting. I can't find you guys. I can't find the Discord app. I'm like frantically trying to find any sort of person to click on, and I can't. It was just like three or four iterations of that in a row before I finally woke up.
Oh, well, gosh dang it. So now not only have you not slept well, you're also an hour behind us. And you had weird dreams. Well,
I had weird dreams.
Perfect awesome. Time for...
I'm a good company for weird dreams.
Though. Yeah, I agree. Mine are weird all the time. I had some weird ones this morning. I won't tell you about one that I had today. It was horrible.
Really?
Night. Yeah, let's just say it. Well, all right. I'll give you the basics. I'm not telling you the whole thing because I don't... Okay. It's way too much detail. But For some reason, I owned a big... internationally known and used and recognized sperm bank. And
okay,
that's fine, no big deal, except the way that we collected said sperm was horrifying. So imagine, if you will, I'm just gonna tell you, imagine a big giant grain silo, you know what I'm talking about? Like the one in Witness where Danny Glover dies in there, gets clobbered by a bunch of corn or whatever. Like one of those. And around the base of this thing, I'm not kidding, around the base of this thing were like little rubber holes around this thing. They were like little gasket holes, like a nice rubber outside
hole. Oh, no. I'm visualizing...
Yes. And what would happen is volunteers, I would call on these volunteers, would all come to my sperm extraction farm, and they would all, and they would all do what you're thinking to the sides of this thing. And so it was a giant storage bin of everybody's man seed. And then we distribute it by just like, you know, a little spout on the side, take a little bit, send it to the doctor who's trying to get the family pregnant or whatever, and a little bit more to whoever. It was gnarly. And in the dream, it all seemed normal. And I'm like, well, see these production reports. Oh, we're up this quarter. It's all very serious business stuff. And meanwhile, people are out humping a freaking grain silo out in the yard. It was weird. Weird.
Wow.
Yeah, it was really weird. So, Jamie, there's some fun content for you for your next mission.
Yeah, for next time for sure.
All right, so let's get to this though. Like, how do you do that? Like, what do you even know? Like, are you sitting listening to the show live and capturing live? Are you like time stamping it and saying I'm gonna go back later? How do you do it?
Yeah, I listen live. I'll go through the show, and as I'm listening, I have an iPhone, so I've got a notes file open. And so what I'll do is I hear things that kind of stick out to me. And I've been doing this for like 3 years now, so I kind of know what's good clip material. And so I'll listen to something, and then I'll go and I'll create a little timestamp, and I have them all grouped by episode. And then I also put a little code at the end for the type of clip that it is. Yeah. So if it's like, you know, Brian doing one of his stupid impressions, or are you tripping over your words, or something dirty, sure. I'll go and add that later. Mm-hmm. So I've got the timestamps, and then at the end of the week, usually Friday, Saturday night, I'll go and I download the episodes, I clip everything out, edit it all together, and then it's a matter of putting them into the template and... Yeah, finding that finding that one tentpole clip that plays at the end. That's usually what I try and
the titles,
the greatest hit.
Yeah. I was wondering about that too, but it's okay. That all makes sense to me. Like, say for a new episode, like let's say you did that with Monday's episode, makes sense. It was recent. You just listened to it, but oftentimes you're pulling in stuff that happened that we said in 2013 or maybe even earlier out of nowhere or famously said then that became meme-y or whatever over the years. How are you finding those?
Well, on my when I started doing this Patreon thing, I started doing a monthly special for just patrons called the Throwback Mashup. Mm-hmm. And so when I had more time, I don't have a lot of time right now, but when I had time, I would go back and I would listen to older episodes of TMS as well as new episodes. And I'd listen to like 10 to 15 episodes a week, I think, of the old stuff.
Oh my God.
And I would clip out stuff from the older episodes just for that throwback mashup. But what I realized is that I was finding pretty awesome clips, like sing along, all this different stuff from there. And so I would just take those clips from the throwback mashup series and I'd bring them over, you know, as a little one-off at the, you know, at the top of a mashup for a good laugh or whatever.
Yeah.
Or I'd use them for my, my bonus mashup specials that I do.
That's crazy to me. That is insane. That's a lot of content. You say you don't have as much time for that now, but how did you ever have time for 15 episodes of TMS? That just blows my mind.
I guess I just had a lot of time on my hands during the week. Yeah. Sometimes I listen to them at work, if I'm on my break or whatever. I just kind of have it in my ear. And I hear something kind of pop out to me and then I jot it down. So that's a lot of listening, a lot of time coding.
Yeah. I feel like this is the right, you've done the healthy thing, which is you have an outlet for this insanity. In other words, if you were that level of a listener and there are people that just listen that much, if you don't have a way to fart some of it out, it's too much. You're going to overwhelm yourself. Like at some point you're going to be
you need it's a pressure valve, right? It's a vent.
Yeah. And you're never going to want to hear our voices again at some point. Like at some point you're like, I don't want to talk to those guys suck. Like you've heard too much of us at some point.
So out of curiosity, what do you have in your notes file for today's episode?
Well, I'll tell you, I actually don't clip live.
No,
I always clip it after. I'll go for a walk.
I just figured you had timestamps or something written down or something like that. Nope.
Yeah, I always time code and timestamp from the podcast app because then I because the podcast app matches the time code from the download.
Right. Because we do a bunch of pre-show stuff here. You'd have to mark when it started. Stuff.
Plus the song is in there, and so things will move around a lot. That totally makes sense.
Yeah.
It has to line up.
So is your notes file just like this? I'd love to see that one day. I just want to see what that looks like.
I would too, yeah.
Is it just one big continuous, like, nightmarish document?
No, I'll tell you. I've got a mashups folder in my notes thing here, and it goes on for a while. Yeah, there's 236 separate notes in my mashups folder.
8 minutes, 13 seconds. Tiger penis. 8 minutes, 14 seconds. Cup the balls.
Yeah, cup the balls. Tiger penis. Two more times. How about more tiger penis?
Right.
So let me ask
you. How when you guys call me like the TMS archivist, because he'll say like, okay, well, if you want to find something super old, you know, Jamie probably has it, and I can just scroll through my mashup folder and in my notes folder for a time code and I can find the episode. I'm like, oh yeah, I did clip from that episode. Go back and look for the time code, scroll to that point. I'm like, oh, there it is.
Yeah.
So it's pretty easy to find.
Well, okay. So for those budding young editor types at home who are like, I want to make cool stuff like this. What's your, on the production side, what's your process? What software are you using? Like, do you have like a preferred, thing to use when you're actually making the mashups?
Yeah, I use Audition.
Oh, nice.
Adobe Audition for it.
Cool.
Oh, I've got a story about that I could tell you real fast. So I love Audition. It's my favorite recording software ever. And but I don't love Adobe's business practices when it comes to, like, it's come to a bit of a stink lately with a couple of people realizing that every time they change their plan at all. So, Brian, let's say you have the full apps plan and you're like,
which I do. Yeah.
Yeah, which you do. But you may be saying to yourself, man, I'm paying $55 a month for that. I don't really use, you probably use it, but if you don't use Illustrator, you're kind of like, I really don't use Illustrator. What if I just did the Photoshop photo pack, whatever one, the $20 a month one or whatever. Let's say you wanted to change it. if you don't look at the fine print, what happens when you do that is if you've already been signed up for years, like you and I have been, it signed you up for a new year. And it's a new commitment for a year. So if you canceled between now and that year, like old pager deals but in the 90s, they will charge you for a chunk of the, it's like a cancellation fee. They charge you for whatever you didn't use.
Gotcha.
So I know people have gotten like $300 cancellation fees because they canceled during one of these years. And it's not like you, them treating it like a phone service where you have to re-up for a year anytime you make even a change to your thing lame. It's just lame. Cancellation fees are of the devil. I understand yearly contracts, but cancellation fees can bite me in the butthole.
I mean, is it basically though a situation where they, you know, somebody could game the system and say, well, I just need Photoshop for this one project. I'm going to get it. I'm going to cancel after a month and get the prorated rest of it back, and now I've got Photoshop for a month.
Yeah, I'm sure that's it. That's probably their main motivation there. But
I think it does suck. I mean, I'm not,
I think they should have, the way they should do it is say, they should just accept the fact that they're going to do fine, and they should let people cancel after a month, and you just charge them for the month. It's like a streaming service or anything else. You got your money for the month. They used it for what they needed it for. Plenty of people will keep it in perpetuity. Other people will use it for a year. Like, just be a normal ass company and quit trying to make everything AT&T of the 80s. Well, so
give us all a cart, because I use Illustrator, Photoshop, and Bridge on the regular. Dreamweaver.
See, and here's the problem. Like, you just described part of the problem, which is I use a handful of those apps, but not all of those apps. So the full meal deal gives me everything, but I don't use everything. I just use what I need. Here's what I use. Photoshop, Illustrator to some point, but not that often, but mostly Photoshop, Audition, and Premiere. Those are my three big ones. I decided this week to cancel everything but Audition until I find a better replacement for it, something I like, which will be in a year because I had to do the re-up because that's what they do when you change it. And then I went ahead and moved full-time over to Affinity Photo, Affinity Designer, and Affinity Publisher. Affinity is awesome. Great alternatives. I'm just saying, the days where there was nothing as good as Photoshop, those days are gone. It doesn't exist anymore. If anything, there's things that are better. You just don't know it. And these things were like $24 a piece. They're a license. You own it. You don't pay monthly or yearly or anything. You just own them, and they're awesome companies. So I'm just putting it out there that maybe we need to just remind Adobe you don't necessarily have the safety position you think you have with all your weird practices. All right? That's what I'm saying. Okay, Jamie, how's it feel being on a rant episode of the show where I get to rant?
I'm just along for the ride, you know. I've done the thing. Sit back and let you talk. It's fine.
That's what I do too, man.
sometimes I can't help it. I don't know. I just go and I can't stop. All right. Well, this is fantastic. So give us a hint as to what we might be expecting sometime soon from you from a mashup. You got any big theme packs coming like you sometimes do? Anything big like that?
I gather all the bonus clips. And basically what I have to do is I've got them all. I've got like a naming hierarchy in my folder on my computer there with all the clips. And so what happens is when I finish an episode, I run all my clips through a file renamer, like a batch file renamer. Mm-hmm. And I add the suffix to each one. So basically, as I'm going through and clipping out, I've got a little notepad file. And I kind of keep a tally of like, okay, well, clips 1, 5, and 7 are SBSA clips. 2, 8, and 10 are BR impressions clips. SPT is 6 and 8. And then I'll, and then I go and I'll take those clips and I'll add the suffix so that when I want to do a bonus, I just have to search for that suffix and all the clips that have that suffix show up. And then I can copy those into a new folder and start a new mashup. It keeps them all organized. But we've done a lot of them lately. I think we've done about all 5 series in the last month. So I have to sort of collect them. And I'm only clipping TMS because I'm not working right now. I haven't done film sack core boop or anything. So it'll be a little slow to get the bonus stuff out, but
that's all right.
It's coming. I have one for Monday.
TMS will benefit from your continued awesome hard work.
Exactly.
People, listen, he's got, like you mentioned earlier, he has a Patreon. If you really dig this mashup stuff and the bonus stuff, you should go support it. It's awesome. Patreon.com/TMS mashups, right? Do I have that right?
That's it. That's the one.
Very, very cool. Nice swag. I wore the t-shirt a couple days ago on the show here, but it's the TMS mashups logo with the blue shell. Super cool.
Mine is on right now, but it's under the sweatshirt. I should have worn it out because the whole point was to have it on while Jamie was here, and I forgot. It was cold. It was cold this morning, damn it.
So yeah, that happens.
TMS mashups on Twitter. So follow him there. He's a good follow and a great guy. And it was really fun having you on, dude. Thanks for being here.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Stay out of trouble now. Bye now. All right. He has a cool voice, actually. He should podcast.
He does. He's got a really good, deep, deep register radio voice.
I guess I've never heard it before, but now that I've heard it, it's like, hey there. Who? Mm-hmm. Ha, who,
hey.
Ho, ho.
Hey, ladies.
Hey, ladies.
I'm mashing stuff up.
Hey, chat room. Rabbit Magic says fission. Is that the thing from Rogue Amoeba? I haven't tried their recording stuff.
It's one. No, I mean it is their recording thing. It's their editing, audio editing, but it is it's one track. So you're not going to get multiple tracks like you do with Audition.
Now, I'd be okay with that because my use case for Audition is almost entirely one track. I don't ever do multiple tracks in it. In fact, when I put songs in after the show, I insert them in line. Like I don't even bother with multiple.
You don't do fades or anything like that. Like
I do some of it. I do some crossfades, but that's all built in. There's some built-in stuff in Audition that lets me crossfade just with pace and stuff. And it's mainly because the multi-track part, the multi-track function part of Audition kind of sucks. It's not great. It's just goofy and kind of hard and unwieldy to work with, and the tools are funny. Single track recording in Audition is amazing, and noise reduction and a bunch of filtery stuff and plugins are all really good. But now I'm starting to wonder if I have to look around.
You could try fission. I don't think it's going to do enough. It's a very bare bones. It's great for doing like what I use it for is primarily chapters and just editing out little clips, mistakes, anything like that. Just, ching, you know.
Interesting.
Yanking stuff out. What is Bobby? Bobby says ANTP has upwards of 27 tracks. He's using
Audition.
Oh, I think he is using Audition.
Yeah, Audition does great multi-track. It supports it. I just think the tools in there are a little weird. They're just not super intuitive. So I use it occasionally for certain, like he's doing, where you're doing like post-production on something. Makes perfect sense. Yeah. It sounds like Fission is more for just give me a raw recording.
Yep.
And that's not bad for what I do. But now I have to do another year of Audition anyway, so I may as well not worry about it.
You've got time to really audition some replacements.
And for some of you who have heard me or heard us say Affinity earlier, for publisher, designer, and photo, those are their kind of their three big suite programs, and they're right now on sale for $24. They're usually $49 or something.
Wow.
Photo in particular, which is a Photoshop replacement, has full complete PSD support. So any Photoshop files in and out.
So you can open. Okay, that's cool.
Oh, yeah. All the layers are intact. Everything stays. All your fonts. Anything you've done stays intact with those layers. And also, you can output to PSD as well. Of course, every graphic format. But anyway, this stuff's come so far that it's to the point where Photoshop is like ubiquitous like Kleenex is. I get it. But that just means we haven't been paying attention because others have come along since, especially since CC, and said, well, hey, what if you just wanted to buy it once and use the damn thing?
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm just annoyed right now. I'm a little salty about it.
Clearly.
A little salty. As a lifelong user of Adobe products, maybe be more customer friendly. How about that? All right. Yeah. Hey, what else? That's it. That's the show. That's it. We've done it, everybody. Listen to this. Our next phase of our lives is to leave right now. But before we do, I'm going to recommend that you go to our Patreon at patreon.com/TMS. We're just about mid-month. As good a time as any to hop in and get daily free content. Yeah, that's right. Every episode that we put up every day comes with a pre-show and a post-show attached to the file on the RSS feed on the Patreon. But you can only get it that way. There's no other way to get that. I don't put it anywhere else. So if you want that bonus content every single day for nothing, virtually, head on over to patreon.com/TMS and do that today. Frogpants.com/TMS for everything else. And quick Rock Runners note, we busted through, let's see, our sixth. Was that our sixth level? Fifth wow. or sixth stretch goal today, which means new stretch goals added, already been added. And we're moving on down the road. We're only a week into this thing, so there's plenty of time.
You're just kicking butt.
It's going all right. It's going all right. This game better be fun. That's the big kicker. It better be fun. I know it's fun because I played it. I played a lot of it, yes. And a lot of other people played my around here and loved it. So I'm not worried about that, but boy, it's crazy. Anyway, go check it out. It's a Rock Runners on Kickstarter. You can find it just by searching that term. All right. Ryan, I think that's everything. Do you have anything going on we didn't mention?
So Soundography posted this morning. Cell Dweller is the band we listened to. ANTP submissions are going to be posted on the free feed here coming later this morning. And then you'll get the judging and elimination episode tomorrow. What else? I think that's it for me. Oh, it might be another Crosswordville at some point today. I basically do because I'm preparing for the North American Crossword Championships.
Oh,
which
right.
Coming up the weekend of April 24th.
I forgot you were doing
and,
that.
And so I'm doing, I do the New York Times crossword daily, but sometimes I stream it. I started trying out streaming on it last week. So I might, you know, pull it up and do an older one. I've already done the Tuesday one. So, but maybe you'll
does,
get it.
Does Will Shorts visit you in your dreams and say?
He does. And he says, it's probably the word you're probably looking for is aloe, A-L-O-E.
He still does that anyway. NPR weekend thing, I think. It sounds just like him. Again, yeah. Another really good impression you do of someone people barely know. Anyway.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So keep an eye. Basically, I do it on my main feed. It's unscheduled, which is kind of a bummer. You just have to get notified. Just sign up for notifications from twitch.tv/coverville. And I chat with the chat room while I'm doing it. Just don't put any answers in there is all I ask. Or you'll get a finger waved at you.
Mm, like you'll that. Get the finger. Don't want the finger.
You don't want the finger. Mm-mm. And I play Andrew Allen jazz while I do it because no muting.
No muting. Oh,
that's right.
One more tiny thing. I have word that all is well. I don't know if I'm supposed to. I mean, he doesn't care if I tell people, right? Because the baby's good. Yeah, I'm just gonna say it.
Okay.
Our good pal Patrick Beja gave birth yesterday to another baby. Well, he did.
What?
His wife did.
That's amazing.
Yeah, his wife did. He subscribes to my big my big grain sperm bank that I have my sperm silo that I own, and we helped him out and they got a baby out of it. No, that's not true at all.
That is how Babby formed.
Yeah, that's how Babby formed. Anyway, Patrick is now the father of two little children. I didn't get a. Oh, he put it on Twitter. Okay, we're good. He sent me a text and I just wasn't sure if that was his like. Way of saying don't show this name. I don't know.
Right, you have an NDA on that on baby pictures.
Yeah, but I'm excited for him, and he's so now cool. They got to go man to man now. That's the new defense. So enjoy that. Having two is great. Three is way harder. Two not so bad. One too easy. One is too easy. Two you can deal with it.
One's
three
just fine. Totally feel like one was the way to do it.
You know what's funny is my daughter and Dylan when they were starting to talk about kids before Van they were like. Oh, we want to have like six. I'm like, no, you don't. Oh, yeah.
No, we do. You really don't. Yeah.
And then they have the one. And then I heard them saying, you know, maybe three. Three. And then I heard the other day, I was sitting talking to Taylor. She goes, yeah, maybe two. Maybe. I said, you know, there's no pressure here to do. You just, one is great. If that's where you want to stop, if you want to have two, that's cool too. We're supporting you no matter what. Just don't. Don't go thinking that, you know, you need to replenish the earth on your own. You're good if you want to do whatever. But, yeah. Anyway, kids. Kids are great. Well done, Patrick. Raise another little Frenchie boy or girl. I can't remember what he had. Not that it matters. Okay. At least you're not in Canada where everyone hates you, right? Okay. What else? That's it. We're done. Let's play a song. We gotta get out with a song.
Yeah. Okay. How about this? Matt B. suggested or requested. I'm hitting the big 39 on April 13th and looking for a good way to start the year right. Tom Waits, is my favorite and a huge creative influence on me. So any Waits cover would be awesome to hear. Signed, Matt B. Well, happy birthday, Matt B. Welcome to the cusp of your 40s. Tom Waits, great songwriter, interesting singer, interesting actor too, really, when you think about it. Played Renfield in that that Dracula Francis Ford Coppola
right.
Dracula movie.
Yeah.
Ate a cat or something.
Also, like that, Book of Eli. He's like the weird merchant guy. Yeah, he's cool in that. I like that.
Of course, the Jim Jarmusch's coffee and cigarettes and stuff like that. Anyway, back in 2008, Scarlett Johansson, made an entire album of Tom Waits covers called Anywhere I Lay My Head. It's actually surprisingly good, and it's kind of got a very ethereal vibe to it, a very like shoegazy pop kind of feel to it. And they put enough echo on Scarlett Johansson's voice that you just don't know. Is she a good singer? Is she a bad singer? I don't know, but it sounds good. On that album, she does a cover of I Don't Want to Grow Up. Seemed fitting for the age 39. Here is Scarlett Johansson, I Don't Want to Grow Up.
How do you know? This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
He didn't have a chance.
Oh.